Hi, I'm Tommy, and I'm the host of Tea and Waffles, a guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. In this six-part series, I'm sitting down with amazing guests and opening the lid on issues faced by young people, hopefully providing some guidance to propel you through this messy COVID period, starting your 2021 the right way. We made it. Episode 6. And it was a pleasure having you along for the journey. It may be the last episode of the series, but it's not necessarily your last serving of tea and waffles. Passion, purpose, art. All elusive concepts I've never really understood, but I guess that's because I've never been conventionally talented. No, this isn't a sob story, but just some thoughts out loud of a young adult still figuring it out. What next is a question I've always asked myself growing up. I found the question was a lot easier to answer in my early years, as when you're younger, you've got the clearly lit path of education paired nicely with parents indicating you towards appropriate life choices. But I found as you get older and more qualifications are earned, the path gets darker and indications less frequent. As you're flung out into the unknown, under the assumptions that you know the root of the life you're yet to live. In my third year of university, I took steps to gain invaluable experience within the industry I'd been setting myself up to enter my whole life, or in my eyes, what's next. But it's funny how life works. It was in the time spent outside work on my daily commute that I found the most inspiration. I discovered an art form I'd never heard of before. It was tales about travels to different corners of the world, relatable life advice and stories from people across the globe, and education on everything from fitness to finance and everything in between. So when I got back for my final year, armed with the financial backing of my student loan and some friends willing to lend their voices, it led to you hearing my voice through your speaker right now. And so far, I haven't looked back. This isn't a bulletin to quit your dreams of being a doctor, banker, or lawyer to become a fire breather, but a simple reminder to spare a glance on some of your passions and ambitions you thought about but dismissed. Remember, the hardest part about starting something new is beginning. So in Press and Play, I hope this guide makes that process that little bit easier. This next segment you're about to hear is a conversation between myself and Murray Rose, the founder of Emerging Behaviour, the digital agency supporting and developing artists, as we talk about what it means to be a creative in this challenging period and some tips that can help you along your own creative journey. Hopefully, this guide provides you with some guidance if you've already started out on your creative journey or if you're just thinking about it.
So I would say I am definitely pursuing my passion right now. I'm not sure if I'm going to have the same passion in 5 years' time when I'm supposed to go full-time. And to be honest, I think that's okay, because although I've been set on this since I was 15, I think it's important to understand passions and priorities change. Being a student right now is working out for me, because I don't have the anxiety of someone stopping me. Because I don't have enough experience, and also I think working in a pandemic is just not the one. I've heard about so many people getting fired because they're at the bottom of the chain, and at least for now I have a solid plan, and that's what I want in life, just to have stability.
Good morning, good evening, salutations people. You are tuning in for an episode of Tea and Waffles, a guide to 2021, creating a self-help guide to get young people through this new year. Today, I wanted to have a conversation all on being a creative and what it means to be a creative within 2021. So I wanted to have a look at how young people are approaching creativity within not just the music industry, but also as content creators, artists, etc., as a lot of young people have opted to be in more creative roles. This has been possible through social media, providing more spaces to showcase people's talents. Also, I understand that this is a key topic that people do want to talk about, because a lot of young people are leaving school, college or university, or currently within the school system, but are still faced with the unknown of what happens next. So I decided to bring on a guest involved in the creative industry to really explore how the pandemic has affected some of the biggest industries like music and entertainment, how creatives within those fields have adapted their art to the current circumstance, and provide you all with some tips to help you along your creative journey, whether you just started out or if you're currently on your creative journey. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest, Murray Rose, who is the founder of Emergent Behavior, a creative and marketing and digital agency supporting artists and helping tailor their marketing campaigns. But I won't give away too much. I'm going to swing over to him and he's going to give you a little bit about who he is and what he's all about.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, so my name's Murray. I run a company called Emergent Behavior, which is kind of like an independent kind of marketing agency that specializes in music. My background is I worked in the independent sector of the music industry for about the first 10 years of my career. Then I worked at Sony for another 10 years. And I've just most recently left Universal, where I worked at Capitol Records. So what I do basically at Emerging Behavior is, because I've kind of like worked in the industry for quite a while, and know kind of various areas of the music industry, be it from creative, obviously, which we're talking about today, which involves kind of like artwork, photo shoots, styling, video shoots, through to other areas, which is kind of like sales. So you've got the DSPs like Spotify, bricks and mortar, companies like HMV, then also there's kind of international distribution. So like, I kind of like know all areas of the music industry can help artists, big, small, developing, you know, like help them kind of find their way. Obviously, very much a key part of being an artist, a new artist and an established artist, is the kind of digital landscape, which obviously is key for anyone to kind of like build their audience, as we know, and yeah, get known. And it's kind of like a, people come to me, and if you're a new artist, you don't need loads of, obviously, any money to kind of like run your socials. And I always kind of say it's kind of a really key part of going out there, creating great content, being authentic and kind of building that relationship with the audience and watching the audience grow. So that's kind of what I do.
Amazing, amazing. I know that you said that you worked at Capitol, which is part of Universal, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And also RCA, which is Sony.
Yeah.
You've sort of stepped out and you've created your own agency. You were in marketing and general management roles.
Yes.
Before,
yes,
weren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. So why did you take a step away from those job roles to get into supporting artists within your digital agency?
Like I said, I've worked at kind of labels all my life, which is fantastic. And I still work with labels sort of thing, but I guess now I've set up my own agency, you're kind of in completely in control of kind of who you work with, you know, how you work with, which is, you know, is great. And you can work across kind of a sphere of fields. You know, if I wanted to kind of work with a non-music brand, I can do sort of thing. And also it's great because I've kind of a certain age and experience, you know, it's great to be able to kind of share that, my knowledge of the music industry with kind of artists, new artists coming through. Obviously the music industry, since I've worked in it, which is a few years, not saying how old I am, but has kind of changed quite a lot. I mean, when I was kind of starting out, it was, I think, yeah, I mean, CDs had been in a while, but there was that whole kind of piracy thing, which is kind of fascinating, because it was like all of a sudden the you know, the record companies were kind of chasing their tails because everyone was kind of like ripping stuff off online sort of thing. And then obviously you've got streaming came in, you know, with the likes of Spotify were the kind of first to do that. And again, the whole business model kind of changed again. And obviously I guess there's still piracy that goes on, but you know, like when I was young, it wasn't the marked difference just going into the process, say an album came out on vinyl or whatever, you had to go and buy it because you thought it might get deleted. so you'd never get it ever again. But now the music's quite ubiquitous, isn't the fact that, you know, like if an album's released on the DSPs, you know, I know it's going to be there. And if, even if I don't listen to it today, it's going to be there in a year's time. Do you know what I mean? There's not that kind of urgency. Obviously, back in the day, big artists, they'll never go out. They'll always be reprinted. But if you're into kind of specialist types of music, you would have said, oh my God, I've got to get that vinyl, you know, and all that kind of thing, sort of thing. You know, we offer a emerging behavior, as I said, all sorts of artists. You might have like a brand new artist, and I always try and, you know, like if someone emails me with some questions, you know, I'm always there to help and just kind of let them know digital best practices, you know, on their socials, sort of thing. I mean, I don't myself kind of update socials because there are some amazing digital agencies that are fantastic at kind of all that sort of stuff, but I kind of help oversee the overarching strategy, sort of thing. Or I might work with a big artist who needs like a big global launch, you know, they're established artists, so you can kind of roll out those sort of campaigns. So I mean, there's no one size fits all, as we know, like, and there's so many different genres of music and in the industry. And then also what is quite interesting is you kind of, because there's so many kind of routes to market now, and the fact that with social sort of thing, it almost makes it more difficult, I think, to break an artist, or it definitely takes longer because there's so much choice out there. You know, before, I guess the main record companies were the kind of the gatekeepers, and the fact that there were so many record companies, and then you had to get signed, and then you had to get the promotional push. But now everyone can release music, and they're empowered to work with all the kind of amazing aggregators there are, like, I guess there's Orchard, AOL, Caroline, you know, there's loads of aggregators, so you can release your own music. But from an artist perspective, it's just like, you know, how are you gonna make some noise to cut above all the other excellent artists in your field out there, sort of thing, which is always key. And then I guess my hard and having worked in marketing for many years, and the reason I got into it is obviously kind of like the creative side of things, and you can tell amazing stories bit through the artwork or the videos or the content you're creating, is, you know, I always like look back and say, if I stream something or buy a bit of vinyl, I'm like, why have I bought that? What are the reasons I've bought that? Is it because my friends told me? Have I been to a gig? Obviously I'm not going to a gig at the moment. Or was that a festival and I heard them? Or did I read a review in wherever? Or was I on Instagram and I saw an amazing bit of content or ad or something that drew me in, sort of thing? And I always kind of work it back, and that's always, I think, a good start for an artist. You're like, what is your USP? And if you were looking at you as an artist, what would make you go like, oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to check out, I'm going to follow them on TikTok or Instagram and all that sort of thing. So it's a kind of like the user journey. I was kind of like work it back from there, sort of thing.
So I know that you mentioned that now there's so much choice and so many different options. Saying that, it's quite similar to you, really. You've worked with so many different artists, which I'm assuming have so many different personalities and different ways of working.
Yeah, definitely.
Such as like Sam Smith, Dame Shirley Bassey, Alicia Keys, JLS, just to name a few. What sort of things about those artists allowed them to sort of break through the mold?
I mean, obviously, very talented. I mean, everyone I've worked with, fantastic. You know, the reason stars is because they do have that certain something the rest of us don't. So, you know, they're incredibly talented, like creatively or songwriting. You know, like that old cliche, someone walks in a room and you're just like, ding, you know, they kind of light up the room. A lot of successful people do have that. I don't know what it is. And then also, apart from the, you know, writing amazing music, obviously, but it's having a work ethic. I think what I've always found with the kind of like artists I've worked for is like, you've got to work so hard because a lot of the industry is, you know, like it's amazing kind of writing a song, but then you've got the whole kind of promotional and the marketing thing that goes on. You have to be really driven. I mean, you know, if I speak to an artist, and can you imagine, you know, like, and they've got to do TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, maybe not so much anymore, but you know, it's, and they've got all these socials to do on top of like doing all the promotion. You know, it appears very glamorous. And obviously, you know, when you get to a certain level, it is obviously amazing and it's an amazing industry, but it is not easy work because you'll be like, right, you know, I'm just going to think of an example, you know, like say you time, you know, start working with an artist, and then you're like, right, so we're going to send you on like a regional radio tour where you're going to be up at like 4 a.m. You're going to be staying in some hotel in the middle of nowhere, and you're going to have a full day of interviews, and you're going to get in at some, and then you've got to update all your socials, and you've got to record it all and put it out on your socials, and you've got to do this and that. And it's not, you know, like that's one thing. It's kind of not, it can be glamorous, but I guess probably like 90% of the time, you know, you're kind of honing your craft. And so all those people who are, you know, very successful are very determined, you know, to get where they want to be, sort of thing. So
I think I definitely do relate a lot to that as a podcaster, because I'm a content creator. So I think initially going into it, I sort of had a look at some of the really successful podcasts, like Three Shots of Tequila, Half Cast Podcast, The Receipts Podcast, and they make it look so easy because it's so polished, it's so refined. But I think it wasn't until I really started podcasting when I had to record, set up meetings with guests, edit, promoting it, creating the cover art, the music. You realize there's a lot to creating one piece of art or content and putting out to the world. I think I definitely had a lot more appreciation for
what
people
goes into the process.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely. And you know, that's a good point, isn't it? Because you kind of, you said you looked at kind of podcasts that you liked and rated, sort of thing. And you check out, if you're an artist, you know, check out the process that your favorite artist is going through. And like, even as a marketeer, I'll be like, what's the competition doing? And I'll be like, oh, that's a good digital initiative they've done. You know, as a kind of like, you're always researching, reading, finding out stuff. You know, it's kind of so important. And, you know, like I said, lots of kind of ups and downs, and you'll feel despondent sort of thing, but it's a long, you know, road to kind of becoming an artist sort of thing. You'll build your fan base, and if you've got something going on, you know, that fan base will go with you. And then you might have a lucky break at some point where whatever it might be, you might start getting a radio play, or you might get a sync, or, you know, and then it all come good. But if you're determined, just kind of stick at it. That's what I always say, you know, something, just keep building and building sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think determination really is one of those soft skills that you can't take for granted, because I think irregardless of whatever it is that you're doing or what stage of your career that you're in, I think that is one thing which is definitely going to travel with you along your trajectory.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure, like with your podcast, isn't it? You kind of like, you started it the first episode, and then you'd be like, each episode, you're like, oh, actually, some more people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a great driver, isn't it? You know, it's great to take people on that journey.
Definitely. I think that's why everyone calls it a journey, isn't it?
It is a journey. We love a journey.
Yeah.
Hopefully with a happy ending, yeah.
I think I am following my passion, if we're talking about employment and the lifestyle that we're hoping for. As a young person interested in radio and podcasting, I'm trying to do everything I can to get involved in that kind of industry. I'm going to be taking on a master's next year, and that's just the right path for me. You know, that could be completely the opposite to what somebody else might want to do, following a similar field or something completely different. The experience is daunting. It's certainly not easy, because there's not one strict path to get into the radio industry or the podcasting industry, and that's a blessing and a curse. So I think navigating that at the minute is the real challenge, and I think hopefully as soon as I start to get a foot in the door, things might get a bit easier. I think these days it's all about contacts, and that's not always easy, so fingers crossed, doing the best I can.
My next question for you really is, so it's not an illusion, it's nothing new. COVID is here.
Yeah.
It's going to be here for a while. It's affected our day-to-day schedules.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that has really been a real issue is that it's impacted our ability to plan, obviously due to constantly changing rules. And I'm sure that's been the same within the music and entertainment industry. So what I really want to understand is, what are the real repercussions that have been felt within the industry and the creative fields in the short term? And what sort of impacts you reckon we can expect from the pandemic in the long term?
That's a good question. So I think when the pandemic first kicked in, like I said, the beginning of last year, I think there was definitely I mean, obviously we've all been through this process and probably been in a million psychological states about what the pandemic is. But I think the creative industries, when it that first kind of lockdown hit, it was just like, I guess there was an initial shock of like, how do we actually even deal with this? You know, as an artist, you're like, do we put albums on hold? We can't shoot videos, et cetera, et cetera. And there was quite a few albums that kind of moved back from their kind of original kind of like release dates, I think. But then I think once, you know, as with all things, once you kind of learn, you know, like the COVID wasn't going away, you kind of have to learn to kind of be adapt and still be creative. Obviously there are kind of limitations on the fact, you know, like if you're doing creative things which involve people, you have to be like super careful in your photo shoots, video shoots, you know, and adhere to kind of like COVID testing and kind of social distancing and all the stuff, which can kind of stifle the creativity a bit. But again, you know, needs must. At the beginning of lockdown, for example, like every video that came out was like a Zoom video with, you know, like 100 people on it. One might be dancing, one might be this, that's fine. And that's a great way because it adapted. But obviously now you see like proper videos are coming out because it's kind of COVID testing. So kind of people definitely adapt. Obviously the live sector has obviously been really badly affected, which is the kind of livelihood for a lot of musicians. So obviously that's been kind of very devastating in that respect. So, you know, there were concerts that were kind of like at the beginning of last year, shunted to the end of last year, thinking it would all be fine. And these are like actually been shunted back this to like 2 years away. And there's only a finite number of venues sort of thing. And we don't know when they're going to open. So I think we all have to kind of definitely kind of, you know, spare thoughts for the kind of musicians who play live, all the people around, the sound people, the engineers and all the rest of it. And we just hope that that situation changes. Though obviously live streams is a kind of a whole genre that has kind of exploded, you know, due to COVID. It was kind of, people kind of toyed with it before, but it wasn't really a technology that anyone felt the need to. Obviously you could go on Instagram, do an Instagram live or go live on TikTok or whatever. But as far as like a bigger kind of concert or gig, it wasn't, hadn't really been done, but that forced the COVID forced that technology to be utilized by people. I mean, Billie Eilish done Dua Lipa, Bicep, you know, there's like hundreds of people who've done really amazing shows. And, you know, that's forced the technology to be fast forwarded what was happening sort of thing. But I think those live streams are amazing, but it's almost like being to, they're great, but it's almost like kind of going to, it's like a pay-per-view, I don't know, like theatre show or something. But, you know, it's kind of like you can't, they're amazing, but they're not going to beat you going to being front row at Glastonbury, you know, watching Foo Fighters or whoever your, you know, or Beyonce or whoever your thing is, you know. So I think, you know, that everyone will be very happy when that sort of comes back. And I think, you know, and again, you've got to be creative, but even when you create content, isn't it? Because we're all stuck indoors and it's, I mean, again, TikTok, obviously massive.
I think it's absolutely blown up. There's always one new challenge or like a new dance or something.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely gone mainstream since lockdown. I mean, I spent my entire life all like marketing people, like talking to us and like, get your TikTok profile up. You know, like, are you working on TikTok? Because I think before it was massive for the younger audience pre kind of COVID. But because we were all locked inside, it's kind of like, as you say, completely blown up with audiences. There's complete family participation. I mean, we've all seen those videos where the kind of whole family is involved sort of thing. But it's definitely, again, just from an artist perspective, if you're a musician, whatever genre, you know, it's definitely a key place that you should be going to kind of building a profile and an audience, because the audience really is there. And again, it's kind of a free route to market. And depending on what sort of artist you are, a lot of people's perception, if they don't spend time on it, is that those people doing dance challenges, which it is. But then if you're a singer-songwriter with a guitar, it doesn't mean you have to kind of do silly dance shows. You just kind of tailor the platform to how you do. So maybe you do like guitar tutorials, you know, you can do covers of big tracks that have come out, you know, like, and that kind of, so you just kind of like use the platform for your brand per se sort of thing and just kind of harness it. So I think all those sort of things have been key. And I guess people just had to be creative with the kind of content they do when they kind of, you know, you can't get outdoors and you're not like socializing. So it's not like me at the gig or whatever, you know, you just have to be creative with what you do. So I think, I guess, be a bit more introspective and cerebral, sort of like what you're doing at home. Maybe you're watching some amazing series or reading some fantastic book, or, you know, that kind of stuff, really. So yeah, I think it's definitely, it's been hard for a lot of people, for sure, sort of thing. So, as I said, you know, mainly kind of all the live sector, really. But we, you know, we hope that the end is in sight before too long.
What do you anticipate for the future, really, of the future of music and entertainment in terms of how business is going to be conducted? Is it going to be more online content? Do you think that artists are going to have to establish more of a online presence to be able to get their music and their art out there?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine when we're all back to normal. But I think it is really difficult, because if you think of the kind of mix, depending on what sort of artist you are, but if you are playing live, is so key to the kind of the DNA of being an artist. And we all know, you know, what it's like, is your mate will go, like, come and check out, you know, some gig out in East London. You go down there and you're just like blown away by this artist and this live experience. You've heard the track on streaming services, but, you know, that really rams at home, like, I love this artist, it's real, sort of thing, which I think has been a real problem for a lot of artists. Because if you're not an established artist, going on tour and creating fans like that is, you know, it legitimizes you with the audience, but also that from a media perspective, you know, the media, you know, radio stations, press, all the rest of it, they love to see that it's an authentic artist who can play live and do their music, sort of thing. So I think it has been difficult for those artists, because that there hasn't been that possibility to do it. So I think some people have been kind of almost like put on hold, obviously, because there's only, you can do socials. I mean, everyone doing digital socials is, you know, not key, creating great content, but you need a few touch points to kind of grow as an artist, I think, be it the kind of the live thing as well, really. Also, another thing that's really interesting, but I mean, is like TV, you know, like obviously TV performances, you know, they obviously used to go in, but they're all kind of like virtually filmed now. So that's kind of completely changed the way they do stuff. I think, like, at the beginning, everything was kind of filmed in a studio and then, you know, kind of like sent almost like a video to the TV stations. And some was filmed live, sort of thing. So that's all kind of changed quite a lot. But yeah, it's definitely been, I think, difficult cutting out the kind of live thing for younger artists.
I'd say I'm definitely following my passions. When I'm telling my brothers about what I want to do and they're chipping in and saying, oh, what about this? How about that? I'm always nowadays like, no, I want to do this. I'm going to do it that way. I come with a tunnel vision. And that's kind of an indicator to me that I'm following my passions.
You've been saying that there's been a lot of collaborations. Say, for example, if you're a brand new creative or artist or performer, whatever it may be, you might not have the biggest following in the world. So you might not have the biggest social pool. So what I believe, like, a lot of people used to do is that, you know, they go to like social events where they can network, or like they know someone who's, I don't know, like a label representative or an artist or a creative or a brand will be there, will be at that event. And then you can have that networking interaction, and then you can set yourself up. But obviously with the current situation, that's not viable due to social distancing, limitations, to gatherings. So what sort of advice would you give to, like, you know, artists or creatives trying to promote and put themselves out there within this current situation?
I mean, a lot of that stuff is like moved online, and the fact from a, not so much an artist, but from a music industry, there's like, you know, like Mead, Eminem, which are all the kind of big music industry kind of conferences, you know, they've all kind of transferred online now. So from an artist perspective, I mean, and again, there's kind of big, you know, like we were saying, I was mentioning earlier about being sort of Reddit and, you know, various other, there's kind of, there are kind of user groups, you know, for artists, etc. So, you know, I would just sort of go on there, talk to other people in the same situation, talk to fans, you know, people interested. As an artist, you could, even however big or small, you can connect with people in kind of online forums and whatnot. And then also, what I've learned over the years is, you know, don't be afraid to kind of reach out to anyone. If you're another artist, if you're an artist and you like another artist, you know, reach out to them, say, oh, do you fancy doing a collaboration? Or, you know, a lot of the time you might not get a reply, but you might, that one in 50, they might go, oh yeah, do you know what? I actually quite like your music. Let's do some stuff together, sort of thing. And that can be kind of an amazing way to kind of grow your audience, especially if they're kind of like the next level up and all the rest of it. And I think, you know, obviously be polite and courteous, but don't be afraid to kind of reach out to people, because if whoever reaches out to me, I'm going to give them a reply. I have a, you know, if even if they've just started, I'll be less like, you know, you need to do the X, Y, and Z sort of thing. I mean, obviously, a lot, some people don't reply, but, you know, you'd be surprised how many people, you know, are willing to kind of help and offer an advice sort of thing. So, obviously, just kind of all those kind of social media rules sort of thing, you know, if you're kind of a newer artist and you follow other artists, you know, a good way to grow fan base is always kind of like, you know, without spamming anyone, just like comment on stuff, you know, hashtag and, you know, another artist, and then people might notice you and then follow your profile and all that. So it's all about kind of interaction, keeping the conversation going, you know, just being kind of visible, really, I think.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something in which I've actually really learned as well. Like, you kind of have to be fearless and put yourself out there.
Exactly.
Because if your end goal is to grow an audience and put out your art or your content or whatever it is out into the world, you need to be able to infiltrate those spaces so you can leave your art there, and then people who connect with it connect with it. But if you haven't taken that first step, it's very difficult to...
Yeah. No, definitely. And you've just got to, you know, you can be, just be a bit thick-skinned about it and just go, if you send someone, like you say, whatever you're sending out, if you want to send a song to someone or build your own little database of blogs or kind of like specialist radio stations or, you know, like playlist curators, you know, thing, and don't be afraid to email them. I mean, like I said, a lot of the time, you know, you send a polite note, you might not get a reply, but again, you'd be surprised by sometimes, because, oh yeah, you know, now I'm going to pop this on this playlist, or maybe I'll give it a specialist play on my show, or whatever it might be, sort of thing. And no one's looking, if you're a young audience, I mean, a new artist, no one's really looking for you. You've got to create that stuff and give it a reason to exist, if you know what I mean. Because,
yeah,
again, another thing, you can go, as we can all release music, you know, you can send something up a feed and it can pop up on all the streaming services, but like, how's anyone going to know it's there, sort of thing?
Yeah.
It's your job to kind of create stuff. You don't need money, you know, obviously bigger artists, you have marketing budgets and whatnot, but you, via socials and kind of hustling, you know, you need to create that noise, really.
I think I definitely agree with that, like, in the sense that when you do sort of hustle and you put yourself out there, like, your content, if it is good and people do connect with it, you can reach way further than you could back in the past, because
definitely
as an artist or a creative in the UK, you can have Australian fans, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
35% of my listeners are in Virginia and in the US.
No. exactly. And you can, I mean, we do that quite a lot, where you're kind of, you've got an artist, and obviously everything's globalized now, so you might be like, oh, you know, like, this track is suddenly popping off in the Philippines or something. So it's like, you know, what can we do to, you know, like, service the Philippines? You know, do we do a shout out to, you know, like, local kind of influencers there, or whatever, you know, what it is, or kind of like, it's going off in Mexico, you know, because there's lots of...
Find creative ways to, like, kind of push out whatever it is that you have going on out in that direction.
Yeah, definitely. And you just go like, okay, there's something happening in, like, Mexico. How can we service those fans? You know, like, let's do something that will be relevant to that audience. They love it because someone in the UK has made the effort to kind of do something for them and has noticed that they're, you know, it's all that sort of stuff, really.
I definitely do think that understanding your fan base is definitely key to your growth, because those are the people who support you. So you have to be able to be attentive to the people who are essentially backing you.
Okay, so following my passion is to become a chartered engineer, electrical engineer. I am on the path of becoming a chartered engineer, working for a consultancy company, doing what I dreamt of doing, working. But you start to think, like, as you do the 9 to 5, 8 to 5, and you're working, and you're like, okay, this is my life now. You're working, you're going towards your goal, and then, but however, like, lately I've been thinking, I mean, like, you think about, is this what I actually want to be? Is this, do I want to be a chartered engineer? Do you know what I'm saying? Because once you're chartered, yeah, you earn like what, 50 to 60k a year. Yeah, you're living cushy, but do you want to live a cushy life? Or do you want to be in Dubai, jet ski, wind through your hair? I don't know. Bust down rollies. You know, like that. No, like that. Chartered engineer, the salary is not going to give me the bust down. But no, like, ultimately, I know you got to know how to play the game, to be honest. So, yeah. Work hard, grind hard, and yeah.
That sort of brings me on to my last question, which I have, which is, what would you say is a big top tip, in your opinion, to artists who are thinking about starting on their creative journey, or people who are already on their journey, to really kickstart their creative process and their art in this year?
I guess it's kind of goes back to what I've already said, and the fact that if you're into it and you love your art, never give up. I know that sounds like quite a cliche, but you know, it's such a difficult business, as all, you know, all businesses to succeed are difficult. You've just got to craft what you do, you know, keep writing, be determined, hustle politely, and create, you know, great content. I mean, just, you know, look at other artists. I mean, for example, you said, like, you know, Billie Eilish, she's an amazing artist. Like, why, you know, obviously great music, but her, you know, USP is kind of, she's got a very good sense of self. It's authentic. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of look back at yourself and your artistry, see where you want to be, who you think your other artist peers are, and just kind of position yourself and just be, yeah, really, really determined. Great, you know, if you can create great content that's interesting and inspiring, you know, again, always revert it back. Be like, why would you watch what you're about to put on if you were a punter, if you see what I mean? And just, I always work it back from that. I'd be like, what's your USP? Because in a crowded field, you have to have something that kind of, you know, pops you above the rest, sort of thing.
The X Factor.
Yeah, the X Factor, exactly. Yeah.
We're not paying Simon Cowell royalties for this, though.
But. No, exactly. And don't be afraid to be, you know, an individual and go out on a limb and just do be who you are, sort of thing. Because I think people in their lives are kind of like probably not that adventurous when it comes to stuff. I mean, I think creatively people being allowed to express what they are and who they are much more now, which is great. And don't be afraid to, you know, exude your uniqueness, I guess, you know, because people like it, I think.
I think that's actually a really good point that you brought up. I think a lot of people would have said that about Young Thug, because Young Thug, well, I say that the whole trap sound, a lot of people said that the sound was very, very monotonous. It was the same thing over and over and over again. But you have artists like Young Thug, Migos, Lil Uzi, who took that sound and sort of took it to a whole different stratosphere. But not just that, when you have a look at Thug and Lil Uzi, when they came out, they used to dress in women's clothing. They used to walk around.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
Yeah, they used to walk around with handbags, blouses. The cover of Young Thug's album, I think it was My Name is Jeffrey, he was in a dress.
Oh, really? I like it. Say, push the look, do what you want to do.
Exactly. It's very unstereotypical of rap and hip-hop,
in
that sort of lane. But when you have a look at his artistry, people still loved what he did and the fact that he put himself out there.
Definitely.
I think that's what you have to do as an artist. You have to sort of put yourself out there.
For sure. And, you know, like, all credit to all those people kind of pushing the boundaries. And, you know, and what I always say is, like, if someone's got a problem with that, obviously, you know, it's more of their problem than your problem, if you know what I mean.
100%.
So you should always remember that, you know, if someone's like, oh, you're doing that, you know, you're wearing a dress, you know, it's just like, well, that's your problem, that's not my problem. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We talk about, for example, following your passion. I feel like this question is quite, it depends. So, like, sometimes people follow their passions in certain different ways, but I always believe that if you're passionate enough about something,
And no matter what, you always go and try and implement that passion into your life. No matter what you want to achieve, no matter what your goals are, if you're more passionate, if you're passionate about something, then you will end up doing it no matter what the circumstances is. I mean, majority of the time you hear stories that people were passionate about, for example, extracurricular activities like football, I don't know, ballet and stuff, but they often, they don't really set that as their sort of career goal. And it's more times they would actually just leave the passion itself. But I do say that if you are passionate about something, you're passionate enough about something, you always find a way to implement it. That some people get caught up with the whole lifestyle, you know, going to work, coming home, wife, kids, etc. They often forget, like, once upon a time, how much they love to play football, how much they love going for running or going for runs, sorry, or I don't know what people like to do nowadays. But yeah, it's more so like a caught up in a life situation. For me personally, it's always a balance, right? I mean, everyone's end goal of the day is to try and make as much money as possible to live comfortably. But you always have to make time and make room for what you enjoy, what you're passionate about, what makes you happy. Because that gives you the right balance in life. I know people that go 9 to 5 to work and then afterwards just sitting at home with wife and kids. I mean, that's not... You sort of forget who you are almost, because the passion is what basically makes you. But yeah, man. Me, I like to kick ball. And like, you think I'm not going to be like 55 and I'm not going to be kicking ball, but I'm schooling up the old kids. Bro, I'll never forget one time, yeah, I went to go kick ball, yeah, with like 5-a-side, yeah, and I was like 5 65-year-olds, bro. Me and all my boys got spun. We got spun. They didn't move. They just played the ball around. And I was like, you know what? When I'm older, yeah, I'm going to be like these, man.
I have made a catastrophic error. I haven't done my icebreaker, so it's more like an ice warmer right now.
Oh, right, okay. What's that?
Loyal listeners to the podcast know that I am the biggest fan of trainers. I am a massive, massive sneakerhead. So the question in which I like to ask all guests who come on the podcast is,
yeah,
what are you wearing on your feet today?
What would I be, what sort of trainer would I wear? I wear Adidas trainers.
Adidas trainers. Any specifics?
Old school. What are they called? Stan
Smiths.
Stan Smiths, there you go.
Ah, good choice, good old choice, school, good choice.
Old school. That's showing my age, that.
Oh, Stan Smiths are solid. I got a pair of suede Stan Smiths.
Oh, there you go. Very good. I'm not actually wearing them right now because I'm indoors, but that's what I would be wearing if I was going out.
Oh, okay. What colour? Patent leather, suede?
Green and white.
Okay.
Yeah. Green stripes.
Yes. Okay, cool. I like it. Classic look.
Yeah. Old school classic.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. All right. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Murray, for coming on. This was a great episode. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Good. Always happy to impart a bit of wisdom and hopefully help a few people on the way.
Exactly. That's what we tried to do on this podcast series. So, I hope everyone listening managed to take something away. And hopefully you tune in for another one. We are out. If you've made it here, then you've just finished episode 6 of Teen Muffles, A Guide to 2021, featuring Murray Rose, the founder of Emerging Behaviour. If you've enjoyed the episode, make sure to check us out on all social media platforms at Tea and Waffles Pod and join in the conversation. A special shout out to Izzy, Dom, Ellie and everyone at Roundhouse for making this series possible. My friends who have lent their voices, and finally you, the listener, for listening to me waffle along every single week.